Before I take you back to this episode, I want to let you know that you can book me for training and workshops around negotiation and conflict resolution. And that could be in a half a day, a full day. It can be online or face to face. So just email admin@lifemediation.com.au and let us know that you're interested. And then we work out what it is that you need and how we can move forward. Hello, another episode of Conversations to Cut the Conflict is out, and this is quite a special episode, I have to say. Imogen van Hagen is on this episode, and she's the owner and co-founder of 20 Fit Australia and the founder of Balance Me Holistic Nutrition. Imogen is a health coach, and we talk about how what you eat and when you eat it really impacts your mood and your headspace and your ability to deal with difficult situations in life and make decisions. But also, Imogen is my sister-in-law, and we have quite a candid conversation about how we deal with conflict in our family and what we do to get complete with each other and keep having great relationships. So have a listen. You do not want to miss this episode. I am Lizanna Eriks. I'm a conflict resolution specialist, and I've been a mediator and facilitator for over 12 years. I've been a finalist for the Australian Mediator of the Year Award for the last 2 years, and I train, coach, and mentor people to become highly effective in conflict resolution and negotiation so they can create the relationships they want in their homes and their boardrooms. Over the years, I've become deeply passionate about conflict resolution and negotiation because I see how much suffering it is causing people, and it just does not have to be this way. When people truly get how conflict impacts their life and put the work in to get effective at conflict resolution, they get to experience deep connections with other people, freedom, self-expression, and love. Have a look at the highlights on my Instagram page, LizannaEriks_lifemediation, to find out more about what I do and why I do it. This podcast is dedicated to bringing you the conversations, insight, and tools you need for you to switch on your inner conflict resolution and negotiation muscles and get you to a completely different level where you can resolve conflict powerfully and create the relationships you want in your life. Think about it. What would life be like if you would not be afraid of dealing with conflict and you would deal with it easily and quickly? It would change the game dramatically, wouldn't it? So let's get into talking about how to do this. Welcome to Conversations to Cut the Conflict. All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Conversations to Cut the Conflict. And today I have a very special guest, Imogen Eriks, or Van Hagen, I should say. So Imogen is very close to me. She's actually my sister-in-law. So I'm really excited to have you here to talk about nutrition and how that impacts your mood. But also we might talk a little bit about what it's like to be family and have some family conflict. Welcome, Imi.
Thank you. So it's a little bit weird to be here, to be honest, as your sister-in-law, because I always listen to them, you know, from other professionals. But no, it's nice. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we normally do talk about every day and not really record our conversations, but I thought it would be really nice to actually record a conversation for a change, because we actually have really good conversations normally and people don't get to listen in. So that was my plan today. But maybe, can you just tell everyone what it is that you do, because that was obviously the first reason that I invited you here on to give people some value about your area of expertise. So can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I own a company called 20 Fit Australia. We've got two locations around Perth, and that is more of a fitness business. And then on the other side, I also am the founder of a company called Balance Me Holistic Nutrition. And I specifically specialize working with women, especially who have been on the yo-yo wagon for as long as they can remember, you know, don't have any freedom around food, have a bad relationship with food, emotional eating, and really just looking to take themselves on and transform that way of being. And I always say that transformation starts from the neck up. So, you know, you can want to lose weight, but, you know, what's the real reason why you want to lose that weight? And so I help women basically crack the code on their own health and find balance in their life.
Oh, that's awesome. The reason I asked you here today, because you know what my podcast is about because you listen to it, but it's really about, you know, being great yourself so you can deal with situations in an appropriate way. So today I really want to talk to you about, like, how does it work with food? I mean, I know I get hangry
Like, that's something that's very clear to me. If I'm hungry, well, you have seen it, I guess, in real life. So I get really moody when I don't eat, or and things like that. What I'm trying to say is that I know that my what I eat and when I eat really impacts my mood and my ability to deal with situations. And you know, this podcast is all about conflict and how to resolve that and things like that. And I think food is actually really important, and I haven't really spoken about that on the podcast yet. So how do you see food and nutrition impacting the way, you know, you behave, or, you know, the way you interact with difficult situations or people, for that matter?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I can completely relate, and I'm sure you've seen me hangry many times.
Yes.
Throughout our relationship together. But, you know, when you get to that point of that you are so hungry that you can't focus or concentrate anymore, it's really hard to make conscious choices or even communicate effectively in every area of your life, not just around food. And, you know, especially like with, you know, lots of ladies, if you get to that point where you're so hungry that you could eat a horse, you know, you're basically just setting yourself up for a binge, right? And just to eat an entire packet of rice crackers and some French onion dip, for example, which is not going to make you feel good because your body isn't nourished, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's only one very small piece of the pie. And I think when you are wanting to perform at your peak, it's really important to make sure that you give yourself or your body the energy that it needs, right, from the start of the day to be able to think clearly and have the energy to enjoy the rest of your day, right, or perform in other areas. And that really also comes down to how you behave, so your behaviors, the small habits and the small rituals that you have in your life, ultimately, that I guess make up your behaviors and how you perform throughout your day. And food is a huge part of that, you know. So just for example, you know, making sure that you hydrate yourself and that you drink enough water, or starting your day with breakfast, right? You know, you've got back-to-back meetings. I know if I've got back-to-back meetings, I'll always make sure that I start my day with a well-balanced meal so that I do have the energy to be able to communicate effectively, ultimately. Yeah.
So what's a well-balanced meal? Like, what does that look like? I mean, I think I know, but I just want to make sure that everyone else does too.
Yeah. So what I specialize in is balancing out blood sugar levels, right? And I'll answer your question in a second, but what I'll do is I'll actually explain what I mean by blood sugar levels, because when you have inconsistencies in your blood sugar levels, you also have highs and lows in your mood, in your energy level. And, you know, this throughout the day, if you're constantly getting these ups and dips and ups and dips, I mean, how can you expect to perform, you know, at your peak, right? Mm. Really hard. So when you balance out your blood sugar levels, you also balance out not only your energy, if you have consistent energy throughout the day, but your mood and your hormones, right? Especially for us ladies, you know, it's a really big one.
Yeah. Hormones definitely impact our mood too, you know?
Yeah, well, absolutely, they do. It does. And so, look, a number of ways to balance out your blood sugar levels are, I guess, the number one is to minimize sugar and processed foods from your diet and really eat food that you know what's going in there, right? And so, for example, anything that is a fast carbohydrate with sugar, you know, that's pasta, white rice, bread, for example, or anything that's processed and has got added sugar into it is going to spike your blood sugar.
Yeah, and is Weet-Bix also in there? Because we also give our kids food, right? So if we talk about conflict in the family, if your kids are on this high and low all day and you are on this high and low all day for mood swings and energy levels, that obviously could create lots of problems. Is Weet-Bix a fast carb?
Yeah. So, you know, Weet-Bix is a highly processed wheat product, right? And it's also, you know, it's going to be one of these things that does spike your blood sugar. Now, in saying that, I don't say don't eat any fast carbohydrates, right?
I know that.
I say that there's a time and a place, right? There's a time and a place to eat these kinds of foods. And ultimately, if you are looking for longer lasting energy and to maintain that energy, then you would replace those fast carbs with slower burning carbohydrates, because carbs will always spike your blood sugar, some just faster than others, right?
And you need carbs, right, to function.
You need carbs for energy. Yeah, absolutely. So an example of a slow burning carb would be oats, sweet potato, brown rice, quinoa, any kind of vegetable, right? Yeah. And so a great way to start the day would be with a bowl of porridge, because that's going to give you longer lasting energy and keep you fuller for longer. So you're going to be able to stay on your game.
Yeah.
Another way to balance out your blood sugar levels. So actually when you, carbs, I said, will always spike your blood sugar, but when you combine them with a healthy source of protein and a healthy fat, then the fat and the protein actually help to stabilize your blood sugar level. So that's going back to your question, what is a well-balanced meal? Let's say, you know, some people might wake up and have a piece of toast with jam on it, right? That is going to spike your blood sugar and it's going to leave you feeling hungry about half an hour later and foggy, right? A well-balanced meal might be a piece of wholemeal toast with two poached eggs and half an avocado, right? So you've got your slow burning carb, your protein and your healthy fat, and that's going to keep you fuller for longer and it's going to give you the energy you need to tie you through to lunch if you don't have any breaks to have snacks, for example.
Yeah, so it's really important to plan and to think about it. And what I'm getting, it's really important to also look at what your day looks like and what you'll need. I mean, you know, as you know, your nephews play a lot of sports, so they need to eat something different. And someone like myself who, you know, I do a lot of sport as well, but also sit a lot, you know, in my office. And so it's really to think about what's going to actually help you. And what I guess I'm hearing is to what stabilizes your energy levels and that stabilizes your mood. So you make better decisions. You're better able to deal with difficult conversations, with difficult situations when you're not feeling so, you know, all over the place because you haven't actually put the right food into your body.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. You know, like I have as a business owner, so I employ, 9.5 staff.
And who's the half?
No, well, you know, subcontractor is not.
Oh, right. I was like, is there a half person? Is that possible?
But I have to, you know, I have some pretty difficult conversations often throughout my week, right? And I make a conscious choice. If I'm not feeling 100% between the ears, right? And yeah. What I mean by that is, you know, if I'm feeling off, if I haven't mentally prepared, if I'm feeling hungry, I actually choose not to go into that conversation. And
me,
you know, yeah. But you know, it's really important to make sure that when you do have a conversation that, you know, you set an intention and you want to get a specific outcome from, it is a difficult conversation, that you are in the headspace for it, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I just want to give you a quick message before we get back to this episode. Did you know that I run an 8-week online program in which you will learn how to become confident with conflict? I put my heart and soul into this program, and the participant that just finished the program shared with me that it changed their life. I mean, imagine what life is like when you would be confident with conflict. If you want to become confident with conflict, head to lisannaerikes.com/CWC-waitlist to get yourself on the waiting list so you are the first to know when I run the next Confident with Conflict program.
The other thing I thought we might touch on today is to talk about, because obviously, well, you feel like a sister to me. We're not technically sisters. I'm for those who don't know, I'm married to Imogen's brother. But we I can't think we kind of act like sisters in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we do, right?
Yeah, we can also bicker and whatever like sisters.
Yes, as well. Hey, we do, right? So, and I think it's really great to talk about, you know, how, you know, we deal with conflict with between us, because I think that's, you know, it's all well and good that here I am teaching people about conflict, but I do try to practice as I preach. Yeah. So I guess you might be the living evidence for people
really
to know if I'm not full of it or not, right? But I think family conflict is really, you know, you come from a very big family. You have 12 siblings in total. Yeah. So there's always lots going on, and there's lots of different personalities, and there's lots of, and I don't know, but I feel that families also, you were able to trigger each other better than anyone else, kind of thing, because we know so well. But we're also really good at resolving it. That's one of the things I love about our family, that people can talk about things. Yeah, you often come up for me, and so I guess a bit of a compliment, when I give training, I often talk about my relationship with you, and then I say, well, if you be able to work through conflict with people and you do it once or you do it twice, then you get a relationship where you can do it more often and it's not so scary. Because in my view, I'm not really scared to bring up things with you when something doesn't work. Do you have the same experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know that I can come to you and basically say anything, right? Even if it's a story, right? Yeah. And then we can sit down and actually just have a proper conversation about it. And, you know, it's, I don't think it's ever ended up in a scream off. We've always resolved every
I don't think it always necessarily has to look pretty, or we're not annoyed or anything like that, because everyone gets triggered by some things. But so I'm trying to think of what, you know, what is it that makes it that way? Because I think it's important to, because it's nothing special about us. Anyone can do this. Mm. Right. So it's about what is it that is the difference?
I think, you know, a big one for us is we really just have the ability. Well, I know I have the ability to also, I guess, get onto your map and understand your perspective. And we sit down and instead of saying, you know, you did this, you made me feel this way, actually come from a place of sharing. Look, this is how I feel in this moment. And, you know, and then often you say to me, oh my God, I can't believe that that's how you feel. It's so untrue, right? And it's just like comes often, it's just a story that I've created in my head. But then we allow each other, we give each other the space to share that story and then fact check.
Yeah, I think that's really great what you're saying. So it is about fact checking and not, but it's also, I think we both have a thing around that it is a story, and that even when we share it, we know it is possible that it's a story. And that's the thing I always talk about with perception, that it's not shared in a way, this is the truth and I know that this has been happening and it's your fault. The other thing, what I picked up from what you're saying is, you know, you make me feel this way. I think the way I go into conversations is I feel a certain way, but no one can make me feel anyway.
Yeah.
So it's something that I feel. It doesn't mean someone can't be sensitive about it or do something that makes me feel better. But in principle, we're all responsible for our own feelings. It doesn't mean you can't share it, but I think that's the crux of it, that you share it as, oh, this is just how I feel about it, but it doesn't mean that that you had the intention to do so. So let's find out what it is, that what it was like for you and what's happening. And I think 9 out of 10 times it is incorrect. And that would not just be for us, that's for anyone who tries to resolve conflict with anyone and the other person goes, what do you mean?
Yeah, where did you come up with that?
Yeah, I was just sorry about that text message. I was just really busy and I didn't really think about it. I was doing 50 things. So, yeah, I think that's really great. And to be able to listen, I think, to go, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I really liked what you said about really getting on someone's map, as you call it, and to go, what's that like for people? But then the other thing, what I really like about our relationship is then it's also really done, because I think what's really tricky for a lot of people in relationships is that they talk about something and somehow or it doesn't get resolved, or like I have so many clients, and again, there's nothing wrong with it, but I think I want to give people access to how to do that, is that the conversation is still going 10 years later.
Yeah.
Or 10 years later, or 4 years later. So it's about to be able to then close it off and you've had that conversation and then it's actually gone. So
I think what really helps with that, like between the two of us as well, is that, you know, when we talk about something, right, we actually complete it. So, you know, we don't leave the conversation until it's complete, but then we also just create who we are for each other, right? Not like intentionally every time, but who we want to be for each other. And, you know, I just love having you as a sister, and I would hate to have, you know, any kind of, what do you call it? Like hang-ups around you. Like you're just, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I think it's around getting connected as well, how much you love people and what's really important.
Yeah.
When you say complete, I know what you mean, because we use that distinction, but maybe you can tell people what you mean by completing something. What does that look like?
Well, I think, you know, when you want to complete something with somebody, right, it's not just that it's complete for you, but that it's complete for the other person, and that there's nothing left unsaid.
Yeah.
There's nothing left unsaid that you can take away and then make mean something else, and but you know, and then go in this vicious cycle of holding on to things. And I think, you know, after we have that conversation, then we just let it go.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
Yeah, I think what happens often and what I see in conflict is it snowballs if you don't do that. So I think this is something, that's why I want to talk to you about it, and not to sit here and go, oh, we're so amazing, because like I said, there's always lots to learn. But I think it gives people access to, if you don't do that, so that can be with a work colleague, that can be with a family member, that this also can be with your children or whoever. If you're not having those conversations and you complete it till the end, there's nothing unsaid, everything is dealt with, and then you go, okay, that's it, and then actually let it go and make a conscious effort doing that, then it starts snowballing, because then you start having a view of someone, and then you're going to get evidence for that view that that person is out to get you, or they're not helpful, or they're not supportive, or whatever the conversation might be. And that's when it starts snowballing, get worse and worse. And at one point, people get to a point that they really can't resolve things anymore. Or what I see a lot in relationships with families is that people stop talking to each other. And they stop sharing anything, and they completely lose the relationship. So I think the power of that is to it's like a reset. So every time you just reset and get connected back to, well, you know, as annoying as you are, I'm joking, you can handle it, right? But if not you, or you or I are, whatever it is. And because we also have sides that are not so great, right? We all not like
perfect. Oh, totally. You know, like I can give an example, right? Like what happened on Saturday night?
Oh, God.
You know?
All right, go.
So, you know, just to build a bit of a picture for people listening, we went out for dinner and I was so grumpy. Like I woke up, I had an afternoon sleep and I woke up just really grumpy. And I got in the taxi, you guys picked us up and, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. And anyway, we sit down and end up getting into like heated conversation with my brother. And, you know, also when there's your husband, yeah. And, of course, when there's alcohol involved, it's, you know, it can escalate so quickly, can't it? It really can, because your emotions are just so, you know, I guess in heightened. That's how I react, right? So I shouldn't really have a conversation about, you know,
anything.
But this is a really great learning experience, right? And, you know, anyway, it got quite heated, and then you had to basically shut us both down.
I had to mediate on my Saturday night, and I was so annoyed about it.
So annoyed, and we ended up, you know, like. You and I leaving the restaurant early, and not because like I you know spoke about my brother with it, but you had to get home and I was just tired. I just wanted to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like a couple of days after that, you know, we had spoken about it then in the evening, but a couple of days after I was thinking about it and I thought to myself, I think it was on Tuesday that I called you and I said, hey, I just want to ask you, you know, is everything okay about Saturday night? Like, are you left incomplete with anything? Yeah. And you said, well, no, not me, but I do think, you know, that there's some unresolved issue there with your brother that you need to have a conversation with him about. And I agree with you, and you know, and that was for me to go, instead of like, you know, no, there's nothing wrong with me, it's all about him, he's the one being obnoxious, but really take a step back and look at myself and go, no, you know you're right, and I'm actually going to take that on. And you know,
that's really generous of you, and that's a really good example, and I think it's really great that you share it. And I think it's also great for people listening to this podcast that, you know, I teach all this stuff, it doesn't mean I'm perfect at it, or no one is. So it's really great sharing, and really generous of you to do so. So the first thing is, you did call when you checked in, and I was fine, but you did take on my feedback, and I also made a request, because I also said I don't want to have to be dealing with you guys' stuff when I go out for dinner, so sort it out, right? So and that's okay. And you just went, yep, I'll take that on and I'll go and do that. So that's a really good example of how you can resolve things and not, so you, yeah, like I said, you were generous, you didn't resist that, and you will go, okay, fair enough. And the more often you do it, is I don't think you had an issue calling me either and going, oh my god, she's gonna be weird or something, right? You just went,
no.
Okay, no, that's fine. So I think that's something I talk about over and over again, is you want to catch these things early. So, you know, if I would have not been okay, and if I would have been a person that would have not shared that with you, because I probably would have if I wasn't, you know, okay, but let's just say I wouldn't, and you would have not have asked, then maybe the next time we would have seen each other and that would still be there, and then you build on that. And I think that's the point of this conversation, is to, if you have anything that you have a gut feeling about with someone, just address it and just ask, because maybe they go, no, I'm fine, what's the problem? Yeah. They really do have something to share with you, and then you can resolve it and you can start from scratch. So that's really great.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was great having you here today, Im. So the moral of the story today is that, you know, talk to your family and talk to them early. Keep talking. I think that's the other thing. What I see a lot is when people stop talking, that's when it really goes pear-shaped. But also really look after your body and after yourself. So if you're moody because you are hungry, or you are not eating the right things, or you're not feeling great within your body, you're not going to be probably less likely to be amazing at dealing with people, making great decisions, being effective in life in general. So I hope that, you know, everyone's listening, that you guys got lots of, you know, value out of this. Is there anything you want to add to that, Imi, before we head off on a family weekend, actually, this week?
No, not necessarily, but I, you know, I do feel incredibly blessed to be able to have someone like you in my life, you know, who I can also just, you know, and I mean that, because it's, you know, how we communicate with each other has also taught me how to communicate in other relationships in my life as well, not just with you, but given me the power and the energy to also, you know, just strip back the story, strip back the beliefs of, you know, before you go into a conflict conversation, and, you know, be able to communicate with people like I do with you. And I think that's, you know, kind of connecting the dots and building on that, what you were talking about before, the relationship that you have with conflict.
Oh, Imi, that's just, you're amazing. I love you too. And you're amazing. And I love having a sister that I only have brothers, blood brothers, I say so, but it's really nice to have a real sister and to have that relationship with you. And it goes both ways. I learned from you too. And I think that's the beauty of when you have really good relationships in your life, that you can learn so much from each other if you're open to listening, if you're open to receiving feedback as well. And I think that's also really important. I rather also know when someone is annoyed with me so I can actually deal with it, than having these things all bubbling under the surface. It doesn't feel great, but you feel you can't make a difference. So for me, you know, when people have boundaries or when people want to share something that doesn't work for them, if they do it in a respectful way, I'm all for it. So, you know, if there's anyone listening that has anything to talk to me about, come and do it. But thank you for that. And thank you so much for being on here today. And, you know, I will see you very soon.
Great. Thank you. I'll see you later.